Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Schenk, and Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Tonight we are very happy to have Mr. 2020 as our guest. This is going to be fun because we plan to discuss Joan's favorite topic, goals, milestones, New Year's resolutions. And I'd love to reflect on what has gone before and think about what is possible in the future. We are poised here a few days before the new year, and I am sure we will take this topic and run with it. Joining me now is Joan Adams.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Joan.
How
are you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm fine.
My favorite week of the year. Isn't that something? You really love this, don't you?
I do. I do.
I do too, actually. There's something about reflecting and looking ahead, but also thinking about it in terms of, you know, just a new way to look at it, too.
Mm-hmm. And it's a new decade. It's not only a new year, it's a new decade.
Wow.
That's fun to think about.
Well, let's bring on Mr. 2020.
Good evening,
hello.
Joan and Kate. How are you?
Hello.
And I see Miss Carol, too. Hey, Carol.
Hello, Carol. Yes, how are you tonight, Mr. 2020?
I am wonderful. How are you both this evening?
Great.
Good.
Great. Wound
as
up.
As I mentioned, this is Joan's favorite, this whole topic of goals and, you know, this, and you just said, Joan, this is your favorite week of the year. Wow, I didn't know that.
That's really cool. I like you say, reflect, and I like looking back and saying, where did I think I was going to be this time this year, and where am I, and what did I do right, and what would I like to change, and, you know. All that is just good.
Nice.
Yeah. It's neat.
So yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, John?
I was just asking if y'all had set any goals. What are y'all doing? Or do you do that? Either one of you.
Go ahead, 20.
I tell you what, boy, there's an interesting question. I'll share sort of how we do that here as we start the show up, but I haven't set any goals like normal people do yet.
Not normal.
Well, tell us how you do it.
Cool. So what I'd like to share tonight, if I could put a title to it, it would be, what does Bill Gates, Henry Ford, Mahatma Gandhi, and Carol Wingert have in common?
I love it. Okay.
They're all visionaries.
Absolutely. As are both of you.
And
the,
you.
thank you. So if I was going to talk about vision and goals a tiny little bit, what I'd like to share with you all tonight and the listeners would be some of the differences between the two and why we need both vision and goals. Because if we only have one without the other, it's sort of like just having one arm or one leg, if that makes sense. It'll make a lot more sense as the night goes on. So let me ask you a question. What do you all want to accomplish next year? What do you got in mind? Like, if you had a goal, you know, when I'm teaching a workshop, one of the things that I mention is a goal. If we had a mathematical formula for a goal, it would be I will accomplish X by time Y by doing Z. In other words, I will increase my chest size by 2 inches in 30 days by doing push-ups and other exercises 3 times a week.
And you call that a goal, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to set a goal, we need, you know, the goal sort of follows that formula. I'm going to do this by this specific time, and these are the steps I'm going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going to talk goals, just off the top of your head, what would a goal be that you had for the next, you know, 30 days, 9 days, 6 months, or a year?
That I can share on the air.
that you can share on the air. There you go.
Let me think about that a little bit. I have a long page, but I don't know what I can share. But I do a timeline and a how I'm going to get there. Yeah.
Yes.
The business plan side of it is what I call it. And this year, too, I'm dividing. Somebody suggested taking a pie and putting it in 8 pieces. And I do have a lot of categories of goals, and I kind of like that, too. So I'm playing around with that. Yeah. Certainly, I'm going to produce every day. In order to create the income that I want online. And when I say produce every day, it could be a blog, it could be an article, it could be a Squidoo lens, it could be a web page. But to produce something online every day. Work days.
Cool.
Monday to Friday, work days.
So it sounds to me that you've got a plan like I will make this much money by this date online by producing articles, Squidoo lenses, et cetera, so many minutes a day, let's say.
Right.
Cool. Okay.
And then there is the marketing end of that. I mean, you produce, and then you have a certain amount of time you spend marketing, and a certain amount of time. You know, there are all of these other avenues where you're giving back, and how are you going to give back, and all that too. So it all fits in the whole picture.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sounds like a good goal. How about you, Kate? You got one you can share?
Well, you know, I'm always conflicted about saying something and then having it not occur because I said it. But anyway, you know, I think when I do believe that we are all here to support each other, and by saying it to everybody here, it's almost like, you know, when you they say, here's an example. If you tell somebody you want to stop smoking, and they say that it's probably a good idea to tell people that you want to stop and that you want to do it by a certain date rather than keeping it to yourself, because then you probably won't do it. So I will say my goal would be to continue writing these prayers. And that's doing it every day, no matter what, you know, no matter what kind of swirling drama or whatever kind of stuff is going on. I plan to do that. And then what I would like to have happen is to have the whole, the whole thing picked up by a publisher and put into a book. Have a publisher publish it. But the thing is, now, taking it one step further, would be the vision, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Right.
Here's what's cool. So we both have shows here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick a common goal between us. So let's say that we all got together and we decided, you know what we want to do? Let's find a way to have 10 times the number of listeners by April 1st, 2010. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
I'll go for it. I love it. Yeah.
Okay. So we both have shows. Ours is on visionquestradio.com and yours is here. And so we want 10 times the listeners by April 1st, my birthday, by the way, 2010.
Ooh.
Which is also my birthday.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I thought so. Uh-huh. I thought so. Cool. So,
that is wonderful. Go ahead.
So that's half of our goal. Okay, that basically I will experience X by time Y, or I will accomplish X by time Y. Accomplish is real important. And the second part will be, how do we do that? So how can we do that? Yeah. So the three of us could even talk about that. We could mastermind a little bit, see what we can do to get things moving. We could develop some strategies as far as perhaps building some articles, Squidoo lenses, putting up some blog posts at different areas, maybe doing replies on different people's blogs. And literally, we could develop a list of things to do and basically say, okay, here's my list of things to do. I'll leave comments on blogs that are related to the show with a link to the show. I'll write articles related to the show and post them on the internet at different sites as well. And what I will do is I will dedicate 10 minutes per day to promoting my show. I will do that 5 days a week, 10 minutes a day, and use that to build 10 times the listening audience by April 1st, 2010. So that would be the goal side. Now, notice how that feels good. It feels definite and gives us something to do, and it's not overwhelming. It's just 10 minutes a day and some little tiny things that we're sort of already doing.
Yes.
So the second side of the coin, and this is where our culture doesn't really honor this a whole bunch. I'm part Native American, and part of what's really helped me to heal over the years from an experience I had in 1989, I was a hostage in a prison riot, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and a couple things helped me to heal. One of them involved the technology of goal setting, because I had to at some point acknowledge I wasn't getting anywhere, so I had to start literally setting some goals. Yeah, I maxed out at about 250 pounds. So I had to get physically back in shape. I decided to start reading again. I started building computers, all sorts of things. But I set goals to get those things to happen. Mm-hmm. So that was half of the coin that helped me get back. The other half is what I learned from my Native American ancestors and mentors, which was this whole thing about vision. And what's weird about vision, again, we don't really honor that in this culture. And when I say that, I can teach goal setting in about 10 minutes. Yeah, I can draw it on the board, and I can talk about I will accomplish X by time Y by doing Z. And people go, got it, that makes sense. However, the vision side of the coin, we almost seem to think that that's for people that are not normal, like Bill Gates, like Henry Ford, like Gandhi, even some of us on the internet. We're not normal compared to most people. But when we talk about vision is about living on the edge. If goal setting is about getting to a point, vision is about experiencing an edge where you feel more alive. And what happens when you start to really experience vision, part of the thing with the Native Americans was that they had different times where you did something called vision questing. And vision questing was basically a period of 2 to 4 days where you were not involved with your ruts, routines, and responsibilities. It was a time where you were literally, with the guidance of a mentor or an elder, put in circumstances where it was just you and the divine. It could have been someplace in nature. Nowadays, we could even just do a vision quest in a hotel room, for example, to a degree. But when you start to quest for vision, what you're really looking for is an understanding of the impact that your life has on the world. And I mentioned Bill Gates, Henry Ford, and Gandhi, and Carol Wingard all very, very specifically as we talk about vision, because when vision starts to show up in your life, you really start to get a feeling of aliveness, because you understand, our radio shows impact people's lives. It's not just about getting the numbers up. It's about getting the numbers up because, for this hour, this week, we're giving people something cool. We're giving some people something deep. We're giving people some meat instead of just gravy. And you start to consider, for example, my life tonight. I could have done anything during this hour. Y'all honored me to come on the show and share this message tonight. And literally, the energy that I have comes from vision. Yeah, I've got a goal, which is to build my listeners and to sell products and have people read my stuff and come to seminars. But those are all parts of goals. But the whole vision behind it is understanding what the world will be like. Hey, my friend Bill's here. I just saw him in the chat room. If you really start to get focused on vision, that gives you the fuel because you understand my life matters. This hour of time that we spend together, it matters and it makes a difference. So how are we doing so far?
I think that having a goal without a vision is almost kind of boring. But it could really be that, when, like Joan, for instance, I think when you say you have a goal, Joan, you get excited about it. And so there is a vision behind that. But, you know, wouldn't you agree, Joan, that you really have a vision behind your goals?
Right. And I do
yes.
the pictures. I do the pictures that go with the vision. The life that I want to live. And, yeah, the life that I want to live, if I do, and this is my little theory on this, but that if I be the best me I can be, then I affect the world in the way that I am supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I've always heard people say that, if people talk about the will of God, and a minister told me one time, God's will is what you want to do. You know, you follow your insides. So if you follow what your heart, what your insides, what your soul, whatever, tells you to do, and you set the goal, and you have the vision, then you are becoming the person you are to be to the world. Does that make, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
However, if I sit and make dry goals, and that would be, for me, would be, I'm going to go get a job and be a cashier somewhere and, you know, make 50, which, and I'm not saying that wouldn't, I couldn't give to the world that way. I'm saying for me, that wouldn't be the best use of who I am. And, you know, for me to be me, I need to be creating online and figuring out how to do it the best way, learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a goal without a vision really is spiritless, really.
Yeah.
We need both, because if you don't have both, I mean, you know, literally, if we just got a goal, you know, goals are, you know, I mean, goals are numbers and they can help us to accomplish stuff. But if we just have a goal, it's almost lifeless. Right? But at the same time, if all we have is vision, if I walk around believing that my life matters, but I don't bother to do anything with my life, then it just, it's a weird kind of balance. We need both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goal helps ground the vision, and the vision helps fuel the goal. And between the two, it literally it brings more light into the world.
Right.
Yes. And the thing about the vision is that it's a perfect thing to reflect on and to take the goal to a higher place and to, you know, just become infused with enthusiasm and inspiration so that when the synchronicities occur that keep you going in the direction that you would love to be going in, and you find that you're on the path that you have always wanted to be on, and you see all these things kind of conspiring to help you, whatever those things are, it is just a purely exciting thing. You just feel totally tingly. You know that you are totally on the right path.
You know that. I think that sums it up, Kate. Because whenever you're living your vision, that the whole universe. That, you know, I've got this crazy conspiracy theory. Could I share it tonight on the air?
Please.
My crazy conspiracy theory is this: the whole universe conspires to help you to succeed. If you're attempting to live your vision, the whole universe conspires to help you succeed. And that doesn't mean once you decide to live your vision, everything's going to be a bed of roses and you're going to have millions of dollars and stuff. But literally the whole universe, the divine God, is conspiring to help you to live your vision, to do what you're designed to do. And I can't tell you how many wild things like that, you know, little miracles, big miracles, people, you know, what shows up in your life when you really dedicate yourself to something more than just accomplishing, whenever you really begin to really understand my life has impact, the neatest things happen. Just the neatest things, the tiniest, the hugest miracles, the people, it's truly, truly amazing.
Yeah.
I know. Right. I know. It's often the small, simple things that
the,
are so beautiful.
Most,
yeah.
Yeah, the most fun story about that for me, and the thing that I've got to do more of this year is sit in the quiet, because I know that works for me. But back when I was first on the internet and I wrote this little goal-setting workbook, and I needed a cover for it. Didn't know anything about what I was doing and couldn't come up with a cover. And I love Andy Dooley's art. And I wrote the Andy Dooley. You remember that, Kate?
Oh, definitely. Go ahead.
It was in there one morning in the quiet, and it just kind of go write Andy Dooley and ask him if you can use a piece of his art. Well,
beautiful.
I did. You know, just brazen, here she comes, you know. Don't know anybody, don't know anything, you know, and I'm just taking it upon myself to write Andy Dooley and ask him. And he wrote back the nicest note. Well, of course, he was delighted. Whatever, I was jumping up and down in this house. I was about to have a fit. And there are a lot of things to that. It's that I was quiet enough to receive the guidance. Mm-hmm. And I think now I have a tendency to get so busy I forget to be quiet and listen. And that he was out there ready, as you say, to help me. You know, the universe is waiting to give you what you need. And for me, it's if you'll sit down and be quiet and listen a little bit and let us kind of show you what to do and where to go here. But that was powerful for me. It was just, he will never know what that means.
If you don't follow that divine inspiration, you'll never know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And certainly it's not something I would have ever done without feeling pushed to do it. No, I'm kind of shy about things like that, and certainly about approaching someone that I think is that talented. It would be, oh, you know, he would never do that. You know? It was just fun. It was neat. And then within, oh, goodness, what, 2 or 3 months after that, I'm on the phone with Andy Dooley helping him create his first Squidoolians. It was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It was really cool.
Have you considered sharing that story on a Squidoo Lens or article?
I need to do that one day. He would get a kick out of that, I think. It was really neat. And he was somebody I had admired online, enjoyed his work, but certainly not somebody that I felt like I could approach. And it was neat. Nice fella. Nice, nice guy. So, yeah.
Generous.
Awesome.
Very, very generous, very caring and loving, and his work is so inspirational and always is. It's always whatever he does, you know, and I subscribe to his email program, of course, and, you know, whenever he sends something, I know I'm going to have a boost. You know, it's going to be a lift for the day, and usually something I need to hold on to. Print that out and hold on to it. Goes in your goals book, Joan, you know. Yeah, neat stuff. But it's about, to me, it's about taking the time to be quiet too, not getting so carried away in my schedule and my all the list of things to do. And at this point, I have more things to do than I want to do than I have hours in the day. I'm just wound up. You know, this is typical for me this time of year. But it's, you know, I'm just ready to conquer the world, and I need to just sit down and, you know, be quiet and listen and take one thing at a time.
You know,
well,
Joan, you
have...
mentioned...
Go ahead. I just wanted to say we have a 702 area code here, and I think it is your friend Bill. So here we go.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Mr. Wagoner, how are you?
I am incredibly awesome. How are you doing today, everyone?
Great,
how
are you? Great.
Nice to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice to hear your voice, too. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely, 20. You're the man. You are the man. And Moon and Moon, sorry, is it Moon and Moon? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, you got,
yeah.
You know, so you talking about getting things and using the Lord to, not using the Lord, that's kind of a bad way to say it, isn't it? Having the Lord's presence to, he's there every day to make your dreams come true, correct? Is that right?
Sure. Being in the
front,
Bill.
Yes. Being, yes.
Can I tell you a little story about me? Do you mind about what has happened to me?
Go ahead.
This last year was one of the most horrendous but most blessed years I've ever had. You know, a lot of people out there, unfortunately, they don't see things like, you know, for what they are, because, you know, God is everywhere and he's there with you every single day, every movement you make. And, unfortunately, a lot of people don't see that. And, so, you know, I went through, my business being destroyed in like a 3-month period of time earlier the year, a very big business that I had running. And then guess what happened to me? Angels came to me. Mm-hmm. Somehow. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't really care how or why. I just know that it just happened. You know what I mean? It's not like they came to me. I don't mean it literally like an angel came down and said, "Hi, Bill, you're coming to come here." You know what I mean? I mean, it was just like I went to Los Angeles after my business had been destroyed by these inside job weird people. And started going to Los Angeles once a week. And since that time, this has been about 6 months now, the people that I've met and the people that I've run across in my life in the last 6 months, just in the last 6 months, have been the ultimate cool people. People come into my aid for free. Now remember this, for that's a key word, for free. People wanting to help for free. People wanting to do things for me for free. And that, to me, and especially in the internet world, is a very rare thing. People wanting to help you for free. No asking for anything in return. Just, you know, saying, "Bill will help you." And I've met some of the most famous celebrities around. I've met a lot of different people. There's so many people. I could just talk for hours about it. But it's just been such a blessed year. And I see it every day. I mean, it's like every day that I get up and I get on the mic and I, you know, I'm writing a book right now and stuff. And I, every time I get up and I do my thing, something new happens. And it's the most oddest thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And I just could say, you know, glorious in Celsius Deo, my man, you know, Lord upstairs, watching my back, and for some reason he's blessed me somehow, and I don't know why, but I don't think I can tell people. That's what I tell people every day on my show and other everywhere I go, and you know I tell them, you know, you can do anything you want in this world. You know, you can do anything. I mean, just except obviously the totally impossible, which is like fly and jump off a building, you know. But if you want your goals accomplished, you want to do things. Faith without action. I mean, you know, I always correct people when they call up or they talk to me or whatever, and they say that, you know, I hope this year is going to be a good year for me. I hope on this. I hope on that. And I say, okay, stop. Even to my dad. My dad gets so mad at me. I go, "Dad, I don't use the word hope." And he says, "Okay, well why?" And I'm like, I've told him this at least 20 times. I guess he just doesn't remember, you know. And I say, "Dad, you don't use the word hope, and here's why. It's a false word. It's like saying, well, you know, okay, well, hope this happens. I wish this happens. It might happen to me, you know, but when you say the word, it will happen. This is going to happen, you know, and especially with, you know, you pray to the Lord, and you say, Lord, you know, this, that, and other thing, and you just do it, and it happens. It just happens.
Yeah.
And if you treat people nice, and if you treat people, even the people, like I go to the streets of L.A., and I see these people on the street, and you know, God bless their souls, these people that are, you know, out of the mental hospitals or whatnot, And they're talking, like, I walked up, this is a funny little story, but sad in the same sentence. Someone keeps calling it my God Bless America line. I'm staying away from that. And I go to someone on the streets of L.A., and this guy there, and this is a kind of a sad story, but it this kind of shows what we need to do with people. This person was asking for a cigarette, okay? And he was talking to someone. I couldn't figure out what was going on, except for the guy might have been mentally ill. And so I gave him a cigarette. And he had to, before I gave him a cigarette, he asked me, he was asking his invisible friend if it was okay. And but I said, no, man, here you go. Here's a cigarette. And I tried to give him a light and, you know, to light a cigarette, you know, because I obviously knew something was, he was sitting on the street. It was like, you know, I mean, like a bum type person, but I'm going to call him a bum because that's the only word I can think of now. But he was just a mentally ill person. But then he had to ask his special friend if he could have the light or not. And it was a saddening, you know. And so I go out there and I go to the streets of L.A. where all these people are. You know, they're out in the streets. And I'll just, you know, even it doesn't matter. If I have, you know, whatever money's in my pocket and I see someone that's, you know, they say, hey, man, you know, hey, brother, you know, I need something to eat or something. I won't even think twice unless I know I can feel it. They're like some kind of meth head or something that, you know, just wants to for the drugs, you know. But every time, 99% of the time, I just pull out whatever I got. It's $20. Hey, you know what? $20. There you go. Have a good one, man. I hope this really helps you. And I do that because I just do it. No one has to tell me to do it. I just do it. You know what I mean?
Our friend Tom would love that, wouldn't he, Kate?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Right.
Who's that? Who is that?
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm still trying to think his last name.
Todd Silva.
Todd Silva. Anyway, he does give away $1 a day. Have you not seen his program?
No, I'm not. No.
Look him up online. He's precious. But he has some darling videos, too. But and he's been on our show before. But he goes out every day and hides $1 for somebody.
Really?
Yeah, you give away $1 a day, and you don't tell anybody, and you don't direct who it's going to. You give it to the universe, and
that's,
you release.
That's exactly it. That's exactly right. I mean, you give and you get, and it's not about. See, that's the thing that really irks me about some people in this world that believe in, you know, try to profess that they believe in what, you know, the things that we believe in, and they say, well, you know, I'm just going to go out and give all this money away, and then they go, okay, well, you know, now why didn't this happen to me today? You know, why didn't I get $1 million back?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Those
it's
types
about
of people.
Intention. It's about the intention of doing it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say to you. Yeah. Bad intentions. I mean, if you have the intentions, just, you know, to just give and do and whatever and expect it all to come back to you in the second, my friend, you're just dead wrong. Dead wrong, and you'll fall. You'll fall every time. Every time. And I realized, I said earlier I didn't realize why this was happening to me, you know, in this year. But now I realize it, now that you brought it up. And it's because, you know what I did with my guys that worked for me? I always did things for them that nobody else would do, because I just, like, for example, if a guy wanted to take off a week to go see his mom in Oklahoma or something like that, I'd still pay him his entire week's salary. And I didn't expect anything from it. Didn't expect a dang thing, just wanted to help him. And I did this so many different times with people that worked for me. Yeah, it might have been stupid, to a lot of people, but I did it. And so maybe that's why. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, can you help me about that analogy? I don't know.
Well, I just had a thought. You know, I don't know if it's going to answer that particular question, but when you said about helping people out in the streets, so-called street people, let's say, you know,
yeah.
It reminded me of the fairy tales of the people who are really in rags and so forth, and all the fairy tales and all the stories, and the yogis in India you know, or in rags with bowls out in the streets. A lot of these stories surround the fact that the street people are really wise people. And
cash, you mean? Making a lot of money?
Or the kings, you know, in the fairy tales are actually disguised as the street people or bums or whatever, so that if you walk by them and you judge them and so forth, you're really walking by royalty and stuff like that. I think that's a fascinating, just the thing that came
to
my
mind.
Yeah,
and that's the thing now. Yeah, that's the thing now is that I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I can, like, for example, there's people in Nevada that, just black guys, and it's generally black guys that go into Home Depot parking lots or Walmart parking lots, and they're trying to, you know, give away their CD, supposedly, their rap CD or whatnot. So, I feel it, you know, it's like I feel it. I just feel that I know this person's going to say something to me, you know what I mean? The way they approach me or the way they talk to me or whatever. So these black guys that come up to me at the Home Depots or Walmarts, I say, sure, I'll take one of your CDs. I mean, who knows? I could be a, you know, million-dollar record producer, right? Who knows, right?
Then
I say, okay, yeah, I'll take your CD, yeah. That'd be great, you know? And he goes, okay, that'd be $10. I'm like, what? I don't even know who you are. I'm not paying $10 for a CD, man. No, I don't even know you. No, if you want to give it to me, that's fine. Because you know what I did in Cincinnati when I was growing up over there? I was a musician. I had about 3,000 CDs. I gave them all away. I didn't charge a dime. I just gave them all away. Because you know why I did that? Because I wanted people to hear it. And it worked.
Yeah.
And so some guy to come up to me, you know, and it worked. I mean, I'd have 1,000, 2,000 people on my show, and people still to this day, and this is talking, we're talking 1995 when I did this, you know, 1996, I don't know what it was, something like that. And so to this day, people email me or call me up and they say, you know, Bill, we still listen to your CD every day. You know,
yeah.
And it's just, you know, that's how you do things. I mean, you don't do things with expecting, you know how much a CD costs? Like 20 cents. And you're going to charge me $10 and I don't even know who you are. I mean, everybody seems, you know, and when I do my show, I always get people, I get the crazies. I get the crazies. You guys are so lucky, by the way. You're so lucky you'll get the crazies. I get all the crazies. And but, you know, what I do is I get them all to do one thing. I get them all, doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. I always get them to agree on three things. I get them all to agree on three things. Freedom, that's one, right? God, obviously, yeah. Well, not God, I leave God out of it, sorry. Three things. Freedom, job, and security. Can they all agree on that?
Sure.
And all the people that are of the other side of the fence, they always all agree on that. Always do. And so, you know, with me personally, you know, John, I mean, I'm 20, knows about me and what my plans are. And that's for another show sometime. But, you know, that's the thing. Don't, you know, just because someone's a Democrat, just because someone's black, just because someone's Chinese, just because whatever they are, I don't care if they're green Martians, you know, treat them as you'd want to be treated.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean to take up so much of your time. I don't mean it, you know, I'm sorry.
We're glad you called in. That's great. Thank you.
What is your show, Bill?
Oh, it's just Bill Wagoner. Just one word. Blog Talk Radio, Bill Wagoner, WAGGONER. It says I'll post in the chat.
When are you?
I get crazy,
yeah.
Though.
When are you on?
I go on usually at 10 p.m.
Ooh.
What day?
That's 10 p.m. Your time zone, right, Bill?
Yeah, my time zone, every night.
Way after bedtime.
That's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, no, that's
why
you're never on my show, 20.
So
I'm doing a pre-recorded interview, by the way. I'm doing a pre-recorded interview with David O. Hawkins. You better be, man. You better be.
Yeah, I was going to say that I actually am up a lot of times that time of day. So I will check in, definitely check
cool.
in and hear what's going on. Yeah.
Cool. And also Dr. David R. Hawkins, you know who he is?
Oh, my God, yes.
He's going to be, I don't know, this is another blessing right here that guy said. He's going to be a guest of mine, a pre-recorded interview on January, I think, 10th. I'm going to have a full hour with Dr. David R. Hawkins, and he must have calibrated me or something to find out, you know, if I was a cool or whatnot. And he's going to be my special guest. I'm going to pre-record the interview and then do a show afterwards. But he's doing it. I got to get up at 10 in the morning to do it. So
the 10th,
I
got to
get some sleep that night.
Is like a Monday, early Monday morning for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For you, it's late Sunday night. Yeah. He is actually going to calibrate things for you?
No. I don't know. I have no idea. The only thing I asked him to do, you know, they said, you know, what do you want to ask Dr. David R. Hawkins? And I said, well, the only thing I want to know, you know, he can talk about whatever he wants to talk about, and that's fine. Anything will work. It doesn't matter to me. He's Dr. David R. Hawkins. He's the man. The only thing I question specifically that I want to ask him is, why is it when I practice applied kinesiology on people, I seem to get so drained? And the lady responded to me is that cool? And
yeah.
She responded to me and she said, I've never heard anybody ever ask that question ever. So yeah, he'd happy to be addressed that. Yeah. He'll figure it out. And he's going to, that's what I do is I mean, I find, you know, when someone I'm talking to somebody and I do applied kinesiology real quick, my son or whatever. Like one time I did applied kinesiology and I discovered a murder. That was really, really weird. It put me in, yeah, 20 knows all about this. And I was like in a fog for like 3 days. I mean, and I had to get in and I got into the shower and I just prayed, you know, like, Lord, you know, release whatever's on me right now. And I'm sorry if I made the wrong statements and et cetera, et cetera. If I wasn't supposed to know this, you know, please, you know, I'm sorry. And then next thing you know, boom, it's gone. It's like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's some people that would sound crazy, you know, but whatever.
How did you and Mr. 2020 meet and Carol?
Oh, let them tell you.
Good answer, Bill.
Go ahead.
I came to him, actually, but then we came to each other, right?
Bill is a tremendous blessing to me. Bill was one of the people, a couple years ago, I used to sell a lot of CDs and DVDs, physical products, before I started doing downloads. And this fellow calls me up one day, he says, I want one of everything, let me know how much it is. And I said, at the time I had my phone number up on the internet, and I got calls like that about 2-3 times a month. And I said, well, total them up and get back to me. And I just figured, whatever, you know, crackpot call. Well, Bill calls me back up, he says, you know, dude, I want one of everything, how much is it? And so we started talking, and we hit it off really, really well. And what was really, really cool about that, you know, talking about, you know, having your goals and vision in alignment and having the universe conspire to help you succeed. So Bill buys one of everything. And so we basically spent like about a day and a half basically burning all the DVDs, burning all the CDs. This is back when
I get this big box.
And so we send this big box out to Bill, one of everything. It was like $2,000 or something. I mean, it was a whole bunch of stuff we don't even have on the internet anymore. And we end up we started talking on the phone, and the next thing you know, what was it, about a month later, you flew us out to Vegas, Bill?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Twice, I think, right? It was twice.
Yeah, exactly. The first time was about a month later, and been together ever since. And, you know, one thing I do want to mention on the show here, since Bill's here, Bill is a tremendous example of someone who is goal-driven and also vision-driven, because when I met Bill, one of Bill's heroes is Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill is one of the neatest people you can study whenever it comes to understanding what goals are all about. And what's nice about, you know, hanging out with someone who is goal-driven, you know, you can become successful in business, you can become successful in life, but there's still an emptiness there. I mean, you can make tons of money, and there can still be this emptiness there. And you can see it all around
us.
You can see all these...
Yeah.
You can see so many successful people getting stuck with drug problems and women problems and inviting all sorts of vices into their lives. And, you know, what's nice about, you know, when you start hanging out with vision-driven people, you know, Bill and I have talked religion, we've talked faith, we've talked, you know, what do you think life is all about kind of conversations. And what's cool about that, you know, even if you have your empire crumble, even if you have a bad year, or your business falls apart or gets sabotaged or whatever, and we've had the same things happen here as well, that, you know, whenever you understand that you have a vision in life, you have something that you are here to contribute, something you're here to do, that makes all the difference. You know, and that to me is what's cool because, you know, with you know, someone like Bill Gates, Henry Ford, Gandhi, and I'll toss Bill into the mix here too. Bill Gates understood that, I mean, Bill Gates had goals, provide the operating system for personal computing, provide, you know, he evolved MS-DOS into Windows, and he started developing applications. He had goals, and those goals needed to be backed by action, and they needed to get done. But Bill Gates also understood the impact that personal computing could have on the world. That was part of his vision. Henry Ford, he had goals to produce automobiles, to make cars, to increase or to improve production methods, to help his workers make money. On the other hand, Henry Ford also had vision. He understood the impact that automobiles would have in the world. Gandhi had specific goals. And Gandhi's an interesting character because his goals, you know, included the, you know, he had specific goals for India and for the world. And his action plan to help those happen involved nonviolence. It involved being the change you choose to see in the world.
Tony, can I say something here real quick in the middle of that? Thanks for putting me in that loop, but that's a little bit high for me. But
No. I'm going to toss you in real quick, Bill. Okay. Bill is a professional marketer, and you know, and I remember us talking years ago about, you know, there's some stuff that he is, you know, that really I see Bill destined to do in the world of politics that will help improve the lives of many, many people. And I watch Bill at this point in time working towards that. And it's interesting to watch the vision, Bill. Absolutely.
Can I tell him a little bit about what I am writing a book right now. I've been in the internet marketing business for 15 years. And I spoke to the chairman of the of BTR. And I, because I wanted to give him the heads up, and I wanted to tell him that that his site, because see Facebook and Twitter and all these different places, like I mentioned to Carol on in the chat room, you want to become famous overnight, use Twitter. And I've changed my tune now. Instead of, you know, in the 15 years that I've been doing this, I've been labeled the king of spam. Okay, just because I went to Congress and I spoke up. I was the only guy there that spoke up. For the little guy, for people like you, for people like others, and I got labeled the king of spam, and they lied, and they wrote articles about me, and, you know, just everything they could to try to destroy my credibility, everything. I mean, you name it, they called me it. And so now I'm writing a book, and I'm writing it all, it's called Confessions of a quote-unquote Spam King. It'll be done, it'll be out in January.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going to be out there talking about all of these people that do scam you every day, and I'm talking about Twitter, I'm talking about Facebook, I'm talking about MySpace, I'm talking about anything that's out there, all the bad things. So my new mission in life now is, yeah, I'm going to market, yes, I'm going to do what I do, but I'm going to do it only with people that have integrity or that are integrous people. I will never work again with people that do not have integrity. And I was stupid and didn't know about these companies and how they steal until I could prove it, and then I proved it, and then all of a sudden something hit me, and this guy came up to me. I went out to Hollywood, and a guy named Sam said to me, he's like, Bill, I mean, he knew more about me than I knew about myself, and he said, Bill, you need to write a book. I said, well, why? He's like, Bill, you don't realize that people today, to this day, and this is in 2003 when this law was in put into effect, and that I helped with Democrats and Republicans put together and put out there, called the Can-Spam Act of 2003. And what it did is it turned all the scam artists into legitimate marketers. That's what it did. And that was not my intention. So this book now, same when Sam told me that, Bill, you got to write a book. He said, you know, we were cheering you for the things that you were saying. I said, you were cheering me? You guys? All these? He said, yeah, man, all of us, you know, internet geeks, as we call it then. He said, internet geeks, we were all cheering when you were on television talking about this. And I'm like, really? Then a light bulb went off. And I said, okay. Then I met up with my former agent that I had. I used to do natural healing products back when I was like 19. I was on the radio everywhere. And I got so many responses. It was crazy, the responses that were happening. And so I got a hold of him. So I do this idea. It's been 10, 15 years since I talked to this guy, at least. And I threw the idea about, Adam. And he was just like, oh, my, Bill, I've been trying to get a hold of you for so long. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, me too, you know, trying to get a hold of you, Jerry. And so I told him my idea of what I want to do. And now I have, like, so much stuff to talk about. Just about Facebook. Just about Facebook. I mean, just that alone, they are, so my mission now is just to help others. It's not to, you know, if someone wants to market, that's great. But you know what? You need to know how to market. And you need to know who to go to. You know, these companies out there, they steal. They steal you blind. And, you know, if I wanted to right now today, and I'll say this again on the air, I say it all the time, BTR, if I wanted to, I could take every single one of your listeners right now, and I could take them all and make them my friends. I could send them all a message saying, you know, go to this site and send them a virus and infect all of BTR if I wanted to do that. That simple. And that happens with MySpace, happens with Twitter, happens with all these things. And so my goal now is to help these people, and or to at least let the world know that they need to wake up and smell the coffee. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So my goal is to help. It's not to hurt.
It seems like you had a real, almost a spiritual awakening this past year.
Oh, my gosh, yes. So, John, 20? Is that good? Or
absolutely, Bill.
Yeah.
I'm running for Senate. I'm running for Senate in 2012, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's what he's on.
I'll be your right-hand man there, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh,
you know what? And
your book.
Yeah, you'll like it. You'll be surprised. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be so shocked that I think you'll probably fall off your chair.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good.
But I was doing a show on BTR one night. A guy called me up, and he said to me, he said, "Son, I get teared. I got so teared up. I had to stop the show because this guy calls in, and he's a guy from the Minutemen." And he does tea parties. You know, you've already heard of tea parties in the Minutemen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The guy calls me up and he says, "Bill, you know, we're having all these problems, you know, with people not getting along." And he said, "We need a hero." That's what he says. That's what he says to me. And he goes, "Would you be our hero?" And I mean, he said a little bit more, but I had to stop the show like right there because I just started crying because I'm not a hero. I'm just me. You know, I'm not some special person here. It's just me. And I stopped the show, and everybody was like, you know, freaking out, like, "Bill, come back. But I mean, tears were in my eyes because I've heard this from other people too, and I don't want to be a hero. I'm not a hero. I'm just me. I'm just Bill Wagoner. That's all I am. And that's all I, you know. And you know what I mean? 20? I mean,
yeah.
I don't.
Don't forget that most heroes do not see themselves as heroes either. They kind of completely recoil from the idea of being a hero. And we're talking about major heroes, you know. They just don't like to think of themselves. They refuse to think of themselves that way.
Right.
That's interesting. That's interesting that you should say that.
I got so choked up. I had to stop the show, and I just played music for the rest of the time. And then everybody in the chat room was going, come back, come back, come back, you know. And so I finally came back, but I couldn't talk. I just couldn't. I had cotton mouth, you know, like, so I let other people talk instead, you know. And it was very, very, very weird because I just don't like, I don't know, I don't look at myself like that. I'm not a hero. I mean, sure, I spoke in front of Congress. Sure, I've spoken in the FTC. Sure, I've done all this. Sure, I get on the radio and I say whatever's on my mind and try to help America. Sure, I do that, whatever. You know, and help try to people do anything that's whatever, you know, and not use the word hope and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, whatever I do, I just do it. It's kind of, you know, 20, you know how I am.
Absolutely, Bill.
I know what I do, how I live my life. I mean, what do? I mean, I just go for it, right? Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good.
Well, you're the pit bull of internet marketing, you know, and you're like that in other areas of life too. You get a target in mind and you just go for it. And you know, gosh, I mean, you know, is that good or bad? It's just what you do, and it all, and it's a gift that you have. It's a gift that you're here to give the world.
My mom told me a story when I was young, and this is in the book, about when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, six. I was playing soccer. She wouldn't let me play football. My mom wouldn't let me play football, right? So I got to play soccer. And so she said I was the only little kid on the field that growled at kids.
I remember you telling me about that. Yep.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of cool, you know? I mean, it's just weird, you know? That, you know, and just, I don't know. That's what the autobiography, and then the book, next book's the autobiography to when I go for 2012. And I have no doubt in my mind that I will win at that, and it's going to be an easy run because I don't discriminate. You know, I don't discriminate. I'll go right. You know, I don't care if these, you know, go to a black church and talk to them. I don't care. I'll go to a freaking church of total people don't even speak English. You get an interpreter. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Only thing that matters to me is talking to these people and I'm making them understand or try to make them understand what really is going on in this country today. And, you know, Mexican people or Central American people are all very, very, very spiritual people. And they vote Democrat, you know, and I ask them why, and they don't know why. But when you explain to them what the Democrat Party stands for, generally speaking, not people, I'm talking about the party, you know, and you tell them about abortion and this and that and the other thing, they absolutely flip out. They just flip out, like, we didn't know that. Oh, my God. And, you know, so I don't care where I have to go and who I have to talk to. I'll talk to anybody anywhere, like I said, like in L.A. or wherever. It doesn't matter to me. John helped me teach me these skills, by the way. 20, I'm sorry. God, I keep calling him John. 20.
Bill has known me longer. Bill knew me under my old name. I still have to correct him. So, Bill, you got to give me 20 push-ups
yeah.
after the show.
I'm a little ADD. 20 push-ups coming up, man. 20 quick. But so anyway, I'll let you guys go. You guys do your thing, and you know, and just God bless you all, and you're awesome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
Take
you
care,
too,
bro.
And it's going to be a great New Year for everybody. Everybody.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Let's make it all happen together. Let's just do it and get it done.
Yeah, let's
hey,
do
Bill,
it all
call,
together.
Call me tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Okay, you got it. And God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, what, 3 or 4 hours behind us, I guess.
Yeah. Well, thanks for introducing us to your friend, 20. That's great.
Bill is an absolute bundle of energy. He's like that at 3 in the morning. I actually can't talk to him at 11 o'clock at night because I won't sleep for 4 hours. But Bill is an absolute dynamo and good guy, very, very good guy, pure heart.
Well, we only have 60 seconds left in the show, so I think that we learned a lot in terms of just what we need to do for the new year, don't we? Haven't we? We're just going to do it. Get it done.
Just get it done. That's right. Get her done.
Yeah.
And sit in the quiet, Joan.
Right. Yeah.
I really want to thank you, Brother Rev, for having me on today. I do have a special giveaway for the listeners of the show. If they go to one website, which is nlplive.com, that's nlplive.com, if they click on free stuff, we're giving away it's a 30-minute recording about fear, and it's some of the stuff that I've learned from modeling some really, really interesting people, and it helps you to deal with fear in a very simple, very creative way. So if they go to nlplive.com, at the top of the page, they'll see free stuff. If they click there, they'll see something about fear in one of the free stuff areas. They can go there, download that as a gift, and I really want to help a lot of people. My goal is to have 5,000 people download that so they can basically deal with fear this year and be done with that. So,
great, I'm excited.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. I'll check that out. And it's in the chat room, too, so.
That's good.
Cool.
Well, Happy New Year, and I just want to mention that 2020 will be on our show the third Tuesday of every month, right? Is that still happening?
Absolutely.
It's great. I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Oh, I am, too. I'm looking forward to learning from you this year. That's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, that's part of the vision. Part of the vision. Thank you.
I love how you ladies both give, and thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we will play music for mother and child. And Happy New Year. Yay.
Happy New Year.